Book of Genesis, chapter 9. And start from the verse 1.
And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered.
Now here we see, God says after this flood is over, Noah already gave the sacrifice. Last week we learned God was pleased. God says, now I'm not going to destroy the mankind again by the flood. So here he says God is blessing Noah, his children, to not only Noah, but the whole mankind. When the Adam committed sin, the animal became enemy to Adam. But some miracle God did, and all the animal came in the ark, and they were not afraid of Noah, and Noah was not afraid of them. God has to do some miracle, because when Adam committed sin, the animal became enemy to Adam. And so now he is saying, now the animals are out. You do not have to afraid of them. They will afraid of you. And many people today, they are afraid of all animals. But according to the word of God, animals, they have to be afraid of us. Some of the animals, they sense the smell of mankind and they run away. But when we are afraid of something, then they come after you. That's the way the devil is. When you take a stand in the name of Jesus, he's afraid. But when you believe that he's coming after me and you're giving him chance, he runs after you. The animals, now enemy to us, they can kill us, they can destroy us, but we have power over them. And you see, in the circus, all the tigers and all the lions and all the bears and all kinds of vicious animal, they listen to mankind. And so this is true, that God has given them to the mankind. I'd like to read the Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. Genesis 1, 28 to 30.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so.
Now see, this is just like a beginning, starting from all over. God is saying, all the animals I'm giving to you, and I'm giving in your hand. Before that, if you see in time of Adam, God gave every animal under his control, but at the same time, God did not allow Adam to eat any animal. He said the animal can eat the grass and man can eat the green herbs, just like eating the green herbs like a grass. But after the flood, still God says, now I'm going to make a new rules. All the animals, they will be afraid of you, but at the same time, if you want to eat the animal, you can take any animal and eat. At that time, there was no law. After the Mosaic law was given that you eat only clean animals. Unclean animals you cannot eat. But now in this scripture it says, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 9, verse 3.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things.
Now see what he's trying to say. Every moving things that liveth shall be meat for you. Means God says, everything what you see, you want to eat, you can freely eat. At the same time, he said, all the green vegetable also I'm giving, but the plus, you can eat the animals. And so, here we see, Noah is given the chance to eat anything and everything he wants. And when we read in the beginning, God wanted the man to multiply. So man has to be strong and healthy and to multiply. And he has given the blessing to everyone. He says, you multiply. When you say multiply, no family planning. Multiply means multiply. Here in America and some other countries, if they have two children, they are too many. And so China said, we want only one child policy. And now when they have one child, and now they don't have the girls to marry. And so the problem is coming, so now they might be going and getting girls from some other country or fighting or some war or put the people for war to kill or something. But the point I'm making, God's plan is not like this, that you should have family planning. God is much wiser than us. He has given people to have children when they are like from their 16 years or until their 45, 50 years, they can have children. After that, some people will have children like Abraham, Sarah. That was a miracle. But today we don't see 70 years or 80 years ladies giving children. If you are godly people, and if you are living godly life, then you will not have any family planning. And as many children as God gives to you, He will give you grace to supply their needs and protect them and give food and everything. Because this is the plan of God. And now if somebody has a 4, 5, 7 children, and their children having problem, and that family is struggling, why is happening? If they come to God, and they give their life to Jesus Christ, God has promised supply their needs. The word of God said, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Why the needs are not coming? Once you rebel against God, you go against God, and you do whatever you want to do, then you suffer and your children, they suffer. But once you are in the Lord, then you will be blessed and your children will be blessed. So here the blessing is given to be multiplied and eat anything, plenty of food you have fruits and vegetables and everything. But at the same time, he said, eat every living things. So this is nothing sin, what you eat and what you don't eat. Some countries, if you go to China, they eat cats, they eat dogs, they eat anything. So we don't have to say anything bad about them because God says everything is sanctified. And so thank God in America we have plenty of food, so we are not going to go after cats and after other animals. But the people, other day I was listening in Korea, when they have, what you call, Christian people are putting in a, some kind of camp, what you call that, labor camp, and they are working there hard and no food. And the lady escaped there, she's 40 years old or so, 40 or 45 years, and she's telling this story. She said, I saw with my own eyes, one lady cooked her child in the boiling water, and she said that was horrible, that was little child, but other lady killed her 16 years old child and put it in a pan and cooking big pot, and his leg was a little bit out, so she cut that leg and put it in, and some of the meat she gave it to the outside for somebody to eat. So the point I'm making, this is not the old timing of famine or something. This is 21st century, and the people having problem, and they're eating their own children. We should be thankful. In America, we have lots of food, lots of everything. Still, people are complaining. We have to see how other countries are suffering. Today I just heard while I was coming, there is an earthquake in Muslim country. And so there are people suffering everywhere. But once we live for God, God says, I'm going to bless you. Not only you, your household, your family, and I give you plenty of food to eat, and you have nothing to worry. And here now, animals, they have to be afraid of man because you're going to go after them to kill them. So here the word of God is saying, now the time is animal eating animals, people eating animals, but there is a good time is coming because this earth is still cursed. Jesus Christ has blessed us. He took the curse away from us, but still the whole land is cursed. The animals are cursed. But the time is coming in the millennium that all the animals will be living like they were living in the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to the Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 25.
The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord.
The lion will eat grass, and not a single animal will be eating each other. Even the snake will be eating dust, and the child can play with any animals, and they will not hurt anyone. So the point I'm making today, we have a problem. Animal has the problem. Some places, animal also do not get food to eat. And so many people and animals are dying in some other countries. But the word of God says the blessed days are still coming. In that time, everyone will live peaceably, and even lion will eat grass. So thank God we are blessed, but there are so many people do not have this kind of blessings. How the blessing comes? Once we believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He supplies your need. America was the blessed country, and all over the world, people were envy to America. And that's why people trying to destroy America, and they want America be the worst country. But thank God, the word of God says, when the righteous people arise and the righteousness is in the country, the whole country will be blessed. So what we need? More prayer, more fasting, more coming to God, and then you will see one more time, before Jesus Christ comes, America will be prosperous. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 9, verse 4.
But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
Now here he's saying, I'm giving you everything to eat. Every animal, every living things, each and everything you want to eat, eat freely. But only one thing, do not eat the blood of the animal. Today in America, we have enough food. But you go to supermarket, they are selling blood. And people buying the blood and eating the blood. The word of God says, please do not eat the blood. You eat the flesh, but the blood don't eat, because there is a life in the blood. So God says, do not eat the blood. You can eat everything. And there are some people in Africa, I don't know they are doing it now or not. There is one tribe. They will make a hole in the leg of the animal and put a straw there and suck the blood from the live animal. And so there are cruel people in the world. When God says don't do it, that's what they want to do it. And so there are peoples today eating the blood, drinking the blood, and breaking commandment of God. If you drink the blood, we have instant strength coming. But the blood can have all kinds of germs. And so when somebody takes the blood direct, they can have a sickness and disease. So God is much wiser when you say don't drink the blood, not only there is a life, but that can carry all kinds of diseases. So God is concerned about mankind, but man doesn't understand. Genesis chapter 9, verse 5.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man.
See, here the word of God is saying, the man's blood, if somebody shed, he said, I will require his life from your hand. Because God has created man in the image of God. And so when God breathed his life in the mankind, that's the time man became living beings. The dust was there and no life. So actually what God is saying, my life I breathe in mankind. But the animal, God did not breathe his life. But at the same time, each and every person, animal or the mankind, we have life in our blood. But our life much more precious than the animal. Now somebody says, what is the difference between animal's life and our life? Animal doesn't have the spirit. They have a soul and they have a body. But they do not have the spirit. What the spirit does, spirit worships God. You do not see any animal gathering together and praying. They gather together to eat animals or destroy somebody. They will never pray to God. And so we have the Spirit of God. They don't have it. You cannot kill somebody and take their innocent blood for no reason. You can defend yourself if somebody comes to kill you, but you don't go and kill somebody who did not do anything wrong to you. Now somebody says, isn't it killing a sin because the word of God says you should not shed the blood? Here the word of God is saying, you do not kill somebody because this is a man is made like the image of God. So you do not go and kill somebody. But if somebody comes to kill you, you defend yourself. There is no sin in that. There might be laws changing, but the word of God doesn't say that you should not defend yourself. Not only that, you can defend an innocent person, just like a child. They are killing children today, innocent children in the clinics. And many, many children are dying. And so the word of God says, Jesus Christ said, if somebody does like that, that person should have death penalty. Somebody says, oh, Jesus will never give somebody death penalty. But Jesus says, if somebody takes the innocent life, that person should be killed. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 18, verse 6.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now who is saying this? This is Jesus. Many people thinking Jesus doesn't believe in death penalty because he is loving and he is kind. He says if somebody, not only innocent child, but somebody believes in Jesus Christ, and some person goes and destroys or offend that person or try to kill that person, he said get hold of that person, put the millstone on his neck and throw him in the deep sea. That means let him drown and be dead. And so here the God is saying, I want you to live peaceably. I have given you enough food and enough everything, but two things you don't do. Don't drink the blood or eat the blood, and don't take innocent person's life. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 9, verse 6.
Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man.
See, again he's saying, if somebody kills somebody, shed his blood, then the God says that man's blood should be shed. That means there's a death penalty available in the Word of God. And now we are thinking we are smarter than God. So what we're doing, we are not giving the death penalty. Some state there is a death penalty, but some state they are leaning towards no death penalty, but life in prison. Here the one person kills 10, 20, 30 people, and when they judge him, he says, give him the life prison. And so the people thinking, well, I'm not going to die anyhow, so let's do damage as much as I can. Kill as many as people. Because in our state, I don't know, I'm talking about Pennsylvania, but somebody says, in our state, there is no death penalty, so we can do anything we want. And that's why more sin in the country. And they kill somebody, and they should be killed. The Word of God said, if you kill somebody, if you shed somebody's blood, that person should be killed. And that's the law of the Word of God. And some people in the beginning, they got the biblical law and they were applying biblical law. That's why the sin was less, murder were less, and violence was less. When you take the death penalty out, more people will be killed. And the blood has life. That's why the Word of God says, do not allow anyone to destroy the blood. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 9, verse 7.
And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein.
And again he says, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in earth and multiply again. So point God is saying, don't destroy people, but multiply. And so we should be encouraging people, don't worry how many children you would have. Sometimes somebody says, yeah, too many children, too many problems. But if you are really a godly man, God knows what to give and what not to give. How many daughters you should have, how many sons you should have, how many children you should have. But somebody, they are afraid of having girls, they get more girls. One family, they have 8 girls. And so the people who are afraid not to have girls, they will have girls. To not to have girls, they may have boys and they may have problem too. So the point I'm making, we should give it to the hand of God. In those olden days, they didn't have ultrasound, they didn't check anything. Until the baby is born, they don't know it's a boy or girl. After coming, then they will do something harm, but before that they will not do it. Now today, if they find out it's a girl and they want a boy, they say, abort the child, we don't need it. So they have pick and choose, whatever I want, I want, and I don't want, you take it away. And then you see they have more problems. Sometimes they want a boy and that boy comes and maybe kills mother and father later on, find out they killed so many children. And so we do not know. We should only say, Lord, whatever you want to give, you give, but give us healthy children, godly children, and we can serve you and we can do Lord's work. Then the God's blessings will be upon you. There are so many people having so many children, and sometimes they have so many problems. As I said earlier, they are not in the Lord. But if you are in the Lord, I don't care how many children you have. Let's go back to the Genesis chapter 9, verse 8.
And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth.
Okay, now see what God is saying. God talked to Noah. What he is trying to say, I'm going to make a covenant with you, with your children, with all the animals, every living things, even I'm making the covenant with the whole earth. He said, now I'm not going to destroy all the animals anytime, all the people anytime. And I'm going to make a covenant with you that as long as earth is there, there won't be flood all over the world. We saw a couple of years ago the European countries, the whole cities and everything was flooding and everything. And some people are start saying, God says, I'm not going to destroy the people with the flood. Why is this happening? He was not destroying the whole world. When the flood comes, when the famine comes, when disaster comes, what do? You call upon God. They have to come to their knees. You know those Indian tribes, when they have no rain, they go drum beating and they start thinking that God will bring the rain. When you call upon God, God will give the rain. Other day, means last time, one person called me from Africa and he says, in my country, there is no rain. Pastor Peter, could you please pray? And I wrote him an email and I gave him some Bible scriptures and I prayed, and following time he sent me email, your prayer is answered and we have plenty of rain. What I'm trying to say, Africa or any other country, when you don't have rain or you have some problems, call upon God. God will supply your needs. God is concerned. He said, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about animals. I'm concerned about the whole earth. And I'm going to protect. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And so God made the covenant that there will be no flood anymore on the earth. Verse 12.
And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be on the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth.
Now see, he made the covenant with the mankind. And what did he say? I'm going to put the rainbow in the cloud. And as soon as I see the rainbow, I will remember that I made a covenant with you. And so God already made the covenant, and sometimes too much rain comes, and 2-3 days pouring rain, how many people look for the rainbow? Do you? Many people do not see, but I guarantee you, if 3-4 days rain and you look in the sky, look somewhere, you will find the rainbow. God did the promise, and he keeps the promise. And so each time the rain comes or any disaster comes, as I said, you pray and God will come to rescue you. Here he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And even this covenant God made, you know what the covenant he said? I make a covenant with you, your children, animal, and the earth. Now what is the covenant? I am not going to bring the flood again. So that means I'm not going to kill you again. So this is a good covenant, but at the same time, that covenant will not protect these people to going to heaven. Only earthly covenant this is. There are so many people, God made the covenant, we will be reading later on. He made the covenant with Ishmael. He made the covenant with the other people, Muslim people. But those are the earthly covenant. That doesn't mean God says, I'm not going to kill you, not going to destroy you. But God sent his son to make a new covenant with mankind. Go to the Matthew chapter 26 and read from verse 26 to 28.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
Okay. So here he's saying, which is shed for the remission of sin. Why the blood was shed? For the forgiveness of your sin. So see the covenant? God made the covenant with Noah, and now God is making covenant with us. See the difference? There, the covenant was made, "I'm not going to destroy you by flood." But now Jesus Christ is saying, "I will not destroy you at all. You will have eternal life on this earth as well as coming new kingdom." So once you have the covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are secure not only on this earth but coming new earth. So we have to have new covenant with Jesus Christ. How many people living in this earth, but they do not have a covenant partnership with Jesus Christ? They are walking dead. That means they thinking they are strong and healthy, but they are going to go to hell. That's why we want to say, listen, our God is a good God. Our God do not want you to go to hell. That's why he sent his only begotten son. He sacrificed his sons on the cross. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ, that person will not go to hell. That person will not be judged. That person will have eternal life. I was just thinking, why people are so afraid to believe Jesus Christ? What is the problem to coming to God? God is so loving and so kind, and he is trying to say, "I want to save mankind. That's why I sent my son. And if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will forgive your sins and I will give you eternal life." It's a so simple thing. Why people are afraid? I'll tell you why. The people who do not know God, they are enrolled in this world. And so they want to enjoy the world. So what they do? They drink, they smoke, they do all kinds of things, and they have the worldly pleasures. And when they bound with those worldly pleasures, and they cannot get rid of those things, and then they are afraid for holiness or holy living. But I tell these people, why are you afraid? "Oh, I don't know I can live that kind of life." Don't you worry. Just come and ask Jesus to come into your life. Once Jesus comes into life, your life becomes so easy. You will have victory over smoking, drinking, or any other sin you are bound to. He will set you free. Jesus said it, isn't it? He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. And if the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed." I am a free man. If I can live an overcoming life, anybody can live. St. Paul says, "I'm a wretched man. Who can deliver me from the sinful life?" And then the same chapter he says, now I know, when he receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, now he can live a victorious life. Tell people, if you are struggling, call upon Jesus. When Jesus comes in, the devil goes out. And then you will have a victorious life. And you can live a life in this world like a life of God. You living and showing other people, "I am a child of God." Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 9, 18. Okay.
And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan.
Now here we see, his sons' names are given, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But he says, the Ham is the father of Canaan. And I was thinking, why other brothers, he did not say anything about their son? And why this chapter is concerned about Noah's son, Canaan? You will be knowing now. Let's read further.
These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without.
See what happened here? He says that Ham, who was his son, he saw the father's nakedness, and he goes and tells his other brothers, and they come and help his father to cover his nakedness without looking at him. They went backward, maybe put the blanket or something on him and cover him. And that's why his name is given. He's a Ham, the father of Canaan. We'll be learning more about that. But let's concentrate on verse 21. He says, he drank the wine and was drunken. Now somebody takes this scripture and says, see, Noah was the man of God, Noah was the prophet, Noah was the righteous preacher, and now he drank the wine and he is a drunkard man. And so God did not condemn him. Why should we should be condemned? Do you know, if there is no law, then there is no penalty, right? If there is no signal here, you can go freely. If there is a signal and it's a red signal and there's a red signal means stop, you stop. If there is no signal, you could go. But if you break the law, you will have penalty. In the time of Noah, there was no law that you should not be drinking. You understand the point? So you cannot take the Noah's example and apply today's example. So Noah's time, there was no law. So Noah worked hard. He planted the vineyard. Means he has to be a farmer now. And when he's tired, he took the wine and he drank. Not a little bit more. And so he got drunk and he didn't know he was naked. Can you imagine when you drink too much, you don't know you are naked or not naked. Some people might be walking on the street naked. You saw so many people, sometimes they walk naked and say, why are you walking naked? Maybe they don't know they are naked because they drunk too much. When you're drinking too much, do you know you see two things? Two lights, two cars, two doors, and double every vision. So that's why they're driving. They look the two road and they go wrong way the lake. And so here the word of God is saying Noah was drunk. But the point somebody saying why Noah was drunk and his son just made a fun of him and he get cursed. Why Noah didn't get cursed after drinking? This is not my subject, but I'm bringing a couple of points. Here the word of God is saying, some people will say, drinking is not sin. You can drink a little bit and nothing wrong. And then they will give the example of Jesus. Didn't Jesus drink? Let me give you a couple of verses and then you figure it out. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and read from verse 31 to 33.
Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color, and the cup when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright.
Now what is the commandment? Do not look. Do not look to the wine. Means, if it is red color or what color, do not look. That's the command. Now do you believe that Jesus Christ will break this commandment? And read the verse 32.
At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder.
Now he says, if you drink, that will bite you as a snake. Means you will have poison in your body. People who are drinking today, they get disease. Starting from cancer to lung disease or all kinds of disease causes. Liver disease.
Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things.
Your eyes see what? Strange woman. What does it mean? You will not like your wife. You will like somebody else. And that's the way this drinking does. So if Jesus knew this, because this was written before Jesus Christ came into this world. And the word of God said Jesus Christ did not break any law. If Jesus was innocent of breaking any law, Jesus did not break the law. He was perfect. So from that verse, we know Jesus did not break this commandment. And Jesus did not drink. They say, oh, don't you know he was the friend of the people who would drink and things like that? Yes, he went to make friendship with them, but he did not become like them. He changed them to like him. That's what it is. If you go for the drinking party and you are invited, you go, but you don't be like them. Try to make them like you. If you don't have power, don't go. So here the word of God is saying, the Noah drank, but he was not under the law. But we have the law. We have the word of God. If you break the law, we will have punishment. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
No drunkards. If you drink, you'll go to hell. One more verse, Galatians 5:21. There are so many verses, but I'm just cutting it short.
Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
They will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means they will go to hell. So if you are drinking, think twice. You are breaking the law. You are not in the time of Noah. You are time of grace. And Jesus Christ has delivered you from this kind of problem. Don't go back to the vomit. Okay, let's go back to the book of Genesis. Let's finish it. And start reading from verse 23.
And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servants. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
Now can you imagine? He has three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Noah did not say, hey, Ham, you did so terrible thing, I'm going to curse you. But what did he do? He cursed his children. Once you do something wrong, your children suffer. Somebody says, how they suffer, okay? You murder somebody, and you have four or five children, and you go to jail, who suffers? Your children suffer. So when you do something wrong, your children are going to suffer. When your children suffer, and you see, then you burn inside. Why this happened to my children? And so, verse 28 and 29, we can finish it.
And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
See, God did not curse Noah because he was drunk, because there was no law. But God allowed him to 350 years to live, and his life was what? 950 years. He lived a long life, blessed life. But the person who did something wrong, you should not make your mother or father ashamed. In those days, you have to respect your mom and dad. If you do not respect your mom and dad, you should be killed. Even though you say something wrong to your mom and dad, the word of God says they had the death penalty, stone them to death. Today, the children can not only respect mother and father, they can say any foul language, they can say anything to mother and father. They say, oh, nothing happened to me. I did it for 5 years and nothing happened, so I keep on continuously doing. What the word of God says, when people say, peace, peace, sudden destruction comes. So what the word of God is saying, you obey your parents, you get blessed. Ephesians, the word of God says, when you obey your parents, you listen to them, you have long life as well as financial blessings. If you are suffering financial blessings, if you are having a financial crisis, look and see what I am doing wrong. I am giving my tithe, but I am not getting blessed. If you are not giving respect to your mom and dad, you will have financial problem. Not only that, your life can cut short. Somebody says, oh, I don't want to live long, so I'm going to be rebellious. Okay, if you do rebellious, not only you are going to cut short your life here, you are going to miss the heaven also, and eternity in hell. So what the word of God is teaching us, God wants you to be blessed, your children to be blessed, and your life to be blessed, but it should be according to the will of God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to follow you. We saw the example of Noah. He obeyed God. He built the ark. He did everything according to your will. But small little thing, when he got drunk, he lost the control of his life, and because of his wrongdoing, his children have to suffer. Lord Jesus, give us grace to follow you, and let us be worshiping God, pleasing God, so our family can be blessed and our generation can be blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for coming from heaven and making a new covenant with us, so we don't have to die and go to hell, but our sins can be forgiven and forgotten, and we will have eternal life. Let people repent of their sins, not to carry these sins for tomorrow or next day. Repent and put it in the blood of Jesus Christ and have an everlasting life. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.